You're listening to the Full Time Whistle on Galway Bay FM.
Well, the Galway senior hurlers have opened the Leinster Championship with a win, and good news for the Galway footballers as well, even if they did lose, leave it late against Sligo. Very good evening to you. It's the Full Time Whistle. I'm John Mulligan. We're with you for the next hour.
You're listening to the Full Time Whistle on Galway Bay FM.
And elsewhere on the programme tonight, we'll be looking at rugby as Connacht beat Zebra. Good wins for Corinthians and Galwegians. In soccer, busy weekend with Galway United winning both men and women, and the local leagues as well. It is going to be a very, very busy programme over the next 60 minutes. And this is brought to you in association with GetsItGo.ie. Very good evening to you. And no time like the present to get things underway as regards the results. Let's go back to what happened earlier today in the Leinster Senior Hurling Championship. Galway beating Carlow by 2.25 to 2.14. Elsewhere, it finished in a draw between Wexford and Dublin. Wexford 1.21, Dublin 2.18, while Kilkenny put up 5 goals and 30 points against Antrim, who only responded with 13 points of their own. The Connacht Senior Football Final will be played in 2 weeks' time. Mayo will face Galway. Mayo beat Roscommon by 115 to 13 points. And we have confirmation of the Connacht Senior Football Final. It will be played on Sunday, the 5th of May, with a 4 p.m. throw-in in Pearse Stadium. Galway at home for that. We've got that report and reaction to come in a little while. Let's just go back to the rest of the results from around the country. We'll start with the Ulster Senior Football Quarterfinal. Again, it went to extra time. Tyrone 123, Cavan 316, the final score. In Munster, Waterford beat Cork 225 to 125, while Limerick beat Clare 315 to 1 goal and 18 points. And in the Joe McDonagh Cup, it finished Leith 221, Offaly 24 points, Kerry 120, Westmeath 1 goal and 14 points. But let's go back to the matters in Pearse Stadium, where the Galway senior hurlers opened their Leinster campaign with a win over Carlow. The report from Niall Canavan.
Recorded a 225 to 214 victory over Carlow in the opening round of the Leinster Hurling Championship in a game played at sun-drenched Pearse Stadium this afternoon. A goal by Gavin Lee helped Galway into a 114 to 9 points half-time lead, but Carlow came storming back into the game in the second half, and on 51 minutes after Martin Kavanagh's initial effort was saved, Conor Keogh was on hand to strike the shitter to net to suddenly leave only 4 points between the sides at 118 to 114. Galway though upped the ante, and they hit the next game's 1-7 to record an 11 point victory in the end. Galway, as I said, led by 114 to 9 points at half-time, and they'd made one change to their team that was picked during the week when Keenan Fahey, who had picked up a virus during the week, he was replaced by Adrian Toohey, who indeed scored a point in that first half. Carlow got the opening score of the game through Kieran Whelan, but a goal from Galway's Gavin Lee after a good initial play by Donal O'Shea and Cathal Mannion, and this was followed up by Declan McLaughlin's point, left it at 1-1 to a point on 3 minutes. By the 14th minute, it was 1-6 to 4 points in favour of Galway. Donal O'Shea and Conor Cooney were on target, as was Cathal Mannion, with Marty Kavanagh scoring the pick of the Carlow scores, while John Michael Nolan also scored from play to leave 5 between them at that stage, 1-6 to 4 points. Carlow hit 2 good scores from play from Marty Kavanagh to leave it at 1-6 to 6 points, but Cathal Mannion's third point and Conor Cooney's third left 5 between them again at 1-8 to 6 points on 22 minutes. Galway had stretched 1-12 to 8 points in front on 30 minutes when Conor Cooney had scored for the 5th time, while Adrian Toohey and Tom Monaghan were also on target, with Martin Kavanagh hitting 2 additional points for Carlow, and his 6th left 7 between them at 1-12 to 8 points. Then Tony Lawler got a super Carlow point before late in the first half. Additional Galway scores from Ronan Glennon and Gavin Lee had Galway 1-14 to 9 points in front at half time. On the resumption, Chris Nolan and Conor Cooney swapped points before John Nolan's score left at 1-15 to 11 points, and then Tom Monaghan with a good score from play, and Gavin Lee with another good score left at 1-17 to 11 and 41 minutes. Carlow though hit the next 3 points. Marty Kavanagh pointed 2 frees, while Chris Nolan pointed as well, and then John Nolan crashed the slither off the crossbar, and it was 1-17 to 14 points. Substitute Conor Whelan, the team captain for Galway, he scored 3 points upon his introduction, and the first of his left at 1-18 to 14 points before Carlow's goal arrived on 51 minutes. Martin Kavanagh's initial shot was excellently saved by Derek Fahey, but the ball broke out to Conor Keogh, and he pulled first time to the net, and suddenly only 4 points were between the sides at 1-18 to 1-14. Galway though settled. Conor Cooney pointed from play, And then Conor Whelan pointers leave it at 120-114. Galway had a goal disallowed. Conor Cooney's long delivery went to the net, but Conor Whelan was adjudged to have been in the square. But Conor Cooney did eventually get his goal on 56 minutes, and Galway had built a 220-114 lead. Galway then hit five unanswered points after this. Conor Cooney pointed three times with Conor Whelan and Evan Nyland on target, and it was 225-114 with 5 minutes remaining. Late on, Carlo were awarded a penalty following a foul on Paddy Boland. Martin Kavanagh's shot was saved, but on the rebound, John Nolan goal to leave it at 225-214. This proved to be the game's final score, with Galway winning out by 11 points in the end. Galway welcome Kilkenny to Pier Stadium next week at 2 p.m. in what is sure to be a serious game of hurling between two of the genuine contenders for the Leinster Championship. For Galway today, Adrian Toohey, he got a point. Ronan Glennon got a point. Gavin Lee helped himself to 1-2. Donal O'Shea also scored a point. Tom Monaghan got 2 points. Declan McLaughlin scored a point. Conor Cooney scored a goal and 10 points, a mixture of scores from play and from frees and from 65s. Cathal Mannion got 3 points. Evan Nyland got a point upon his introduction, while Conor Whelan, he scored 3 points when he was introduced in the second half. In the end, it was job done for Galway. They have won by 11 in the end, but improvement will be needed when Kilkenny come to Pearse Stadium next weekend. Indeed, they had a big win over Antrim today, while in the other game, two late goals from Dublin saw them draw with Wexford. So it's building up nicely in the Leinster Championship, but Galway have got their first victory of the campaign, 225 for Galway, 2-14 for Carlo, Niall Canavan for Galway BFM.
Let's get the reaction. We'll start with Galway manager Henry Shefflin.
Henry, in the end, first round victory over Carlo.
Yeah, 2 points on the board, I suppose. And I don't think we've any major injuries coming out of the game, so I suppose they're the positives. Performance not good, obviously, Niall, so that's a bit of a concern. But look, I think some of it was good, and I must say Carlo, I would say, played very well at patches as well, so just to recognise that from the outside. So but from our own side, no, we know that if we perform like that next week, things won't be good.
You started well though, you got a goal early on, and you seem to be getting a good bit of direct ball into Declan McLaughlin and Cathal Mannion inside and getting it in quickly.
Yeah, and I suppose just probably Carlo, just to be fair to them tactically, I think they kind of reset and probably got the man back in front, and obviously we probably weren't as efficient as getting the ball around that player once they started to sit back. And I will say to fair Carlo worked some great scores on the wings, and Martin Carvey and Diesel Chris Nolan well able to score, and we knew that in advance. So yeah, I think Carlo probably started to impose their game, and even at half time, like we in 1-14, I'd say 1-13 probably from play at that stage, so and we'd left a few chances behind us. So to be fair, I think when Carlo got the goal, our lads responded very well, and that probably 5 minutes after that was probably our best patch of hurling, and the game was probably put to bed at that stage.
Yeah, you mentioned that. I think they got it back to 4 points. It was 118-114, but you see, there was a bit of concern then, but you pulled away comfortably enough after that.
Yeah, that was the area of concern once, you know, and Carlo were playing very well at that stage, and that was the one period of the game where you felt, Jesus, there could be a shock on the cards here. But I think the lads responded very well, and Conor got a brilliant goal in as well. So look, it was job done, no more than that. And obviously, we have a lot of work to do in the week leading up to next week's game.
That's a huge game, but you brought on a lot of experienced players as well in the second half. Conor Whelan made a huge impact at full forward when he came in, but the other experienced guys, Darren Morrissey, Evan Nyland, David Burke, and these lads all contributed, Joseph Cooney as well.
Yeah, and the bench did have an impact, and we knew that in advance of the game we would need that bench, and we knew we had the impact coming in, but I think it was only right and just that probably Gavin Lee, John Cooney, Donal O'Shea, you know, these players have been formed very well in training. I suppose to the outside eye it's sometimes easy pick these teams, but to the inside you have to go on what you're seeing in training, and we also know we need a bit of youth and energy into the team as well, so it was a great opportunity to give those players a chance, and I thought they all performed very well, which is excellent. And I would say the competition within the group is very, very strong, and picking a 26 and picking players to even come on today was difficult, but that's what we want, and we know we're going to need those. We know we're going to need those in the short term over the next 2 weekends, because it's a heavy schedule for ourselves with those 3 games coming up pretty fast.
Had you one eye on those games against Kilkenny and Wexford? I know coming in today people were expecting Galway to beat Carlow. Had you any eye on any of those games coming up?
I know, I think some of the players were coming back from Sydney, there's been a lot of sickness around the place, and players coming back from injuries the last couple of weeks have been back, but probably haven't been back long enough to get a full start and get a full 70 minutes into them, so it's trying to manage that, and as you said, keeping an eye on who can be formed in the following weekend and the weekend after, because we know we're going to need that, you know, 25 players to fulfil those fixtures.
Wexford and Dublin ended in a draw. Dublin got two late goals today to draw that game. Kilkenny obviously well ahead, but against Antrim. But that game now against Kilkenny next week, huge game here in Pearse Stadium.
It's a massive game, man, and we a massive performance. And I'll be honest with you now, I think the players know themselves. I haven't spoken to them yet, but I think they know if they perform like they did today, it will just not be good enough. So we know Kilkenny, you know, our Ireland finalists last year, you know, and league finalists this year, and you know what Kilkenny are going to bring. So we know we have to be really at it, but I'm hoping that the players will just put that performance out of their heads now, and we look forward, because it's a big game, and it's hopefully be a big crowd here in Pearse Stadium. So that has to excite you and get you going, and hopefully that'll come with a performance next weekend.
Keenan Fahey didn't play today, I think. Is it a virus he picked up?
Virus, yeah, picked up Friday night, yeah, so he didn't even travel with us today.
Yeah, but he is expected back next week. Let's hear now from Conor Cooney.
Conor Cooney, in the end, a win over Carlo?
Yeah, look, it was a... happy with the win. Probably unhappy to concede there at the end, but look, at those things happen. So, look, a big challenge coming here next week. So, get the bodies right and prepare again and go again.
Started well. Gavin Lee got a goal early on, gave you a good lead and built a platform before halftime.
It is, yeah. I suppose there were things we were probably happy with, content with at halftime, and there were things that we thought we needed to work on. And we got on top for a finish and we saw it out. So, we'll move on from here and looking forward to next weekend again.
They came at you well in the second half. They got a goal. I think it brought it back to 4 points, but then you pushed on again. You got the goal yourself then and won easily in the end.
They did, yeah. Look, they probably got run us there for a few minutes and we probably lost a bit of shape and got back on top again. I think the lads coming off the bench had a big impact and probably settled things down again. So, it just shows the importance of the panel and how important everyone is to the setup and the impact they can have. That's a positive to take away from today.
You mentioned next week Kilkenny come to town, big game.
Big game, yeah. Look, they've been in all Ireland finals and probably we've gone over on us last year. So, we're looking forward to it. Hopefully the weather might be like today again. Yeah. But it'll be a good challenge and a good test, and we have to up it again for that.
And finally, today was about getting the victory. You did that, and it's time to move on.
Exactly, yeah.
Now let's hear from goalkeeper Dara Fahey.
Dara Fahey, Galway goalkeeper, you must be delighted to get the win.
Yeah, look, good to get the win after a hard-fought game. Carlo stuck in it for a long time, made things very difficult for us, but thankfully we got the win in the end.
They got a goal, I think, with about 20 minutes to go, brought it back to within 4 points. You looked a bit of bother at that stage, but you saw it out well after that.
Yeah, I know Carlo were always putting squeeze on us and they were very dangerous if you stand off them, and they've shown that today. And yeah, thankfully we overturned them again near the end.
From your own perspective, your second championship appearance, your last one was against Waterford 2021. It's good to be getting the chance. Obviously you did well in the league and you've cemented your place now for the championship.
Yeah, delighted to be playing now. Competition is awful tough all over the panel and everyone's driving each other on training, and that's the main thing.
You play Kilkenny next week, the challenges don't come any easier.
No, yeah, big one now again Sunday. That's our next coming game now. Big one just to try to get over the line again, but no doubt we'll get prepared for it again this the week coming.
And how are things going? Obviously this the championship, you went away to Portugal for a couple of for 4 or 5 days, got a good bank of work done no doubt, and you're trying to obviously to progress now in this championship.
Yeah, good, a lot of work done, and it's about building on that and going again forward for the next game against Kilkenny.
The games come thick and fast, don't they? You have a 6-day turnaround after the Kilkenny game, so it's about being primed, isn't it, for all these games?
Exactly, yeah. You can't beat games, as they say. We'll take them as many as we can get in a time. So, yeah.
Finally, what was it like out there to play in front of the crowd here at Pearse Stadium in only your second championship match? Nice to play the home crowd. There'll be a bigger one again next week against Kilkenny.
Exactly, yeah. Great to have the home crowd out. They're always great supporters and we appreciate it very much.
Right, well, let's go back to yesterday and that incredible game of football in Markovitch Park that saw Galway edge out Sligo by 113 to 14 points. The story of the game from Kevin Dwyer.
A get-out-of-jail display by Galway as the Galway BFM man of the match, Rob Finnerty, secures a smash-and-grab winning goal 2 minutes into added time and breaks Sligo hearts in this Connacht senior football semi-final played in Markovitch Park. Galway struggled for long periods of this game, but eventually won through by 2 points. Galway 1 goal and 13 points, Sligo 14 points. The home side dominated the first quarter as a shell-shocked Galway found themselves 5-1 behind after 20 minutes. Sligo were clinical, kicking some fantastic points from Nathan Mullen, Niall Murphy with the free, Keane Lally and Canis Mulligan from play. A fifth score from Paddy O'Connor after Shane Walsh had pointed for Galway, their opening score in 13 minutes, saw that Sligo were in control. However, eventually Galway clawed their way back into the game with three scores without reply from Dylan McHugh, Johnny Heaney and Rob Finnerty, while the next action saw Dara Cummins trade a point with Finnerty, making it 6-5 after 30 minutes in Sligo's favour. Galway had missed a couple of early goal chances and also saw some efforts at points just trail wide in that opening half hour. But Sligo outscored Galway by 3-1 before half time, with Paddy O'Connor pointing twice, along with Alan McLaughlin in response to a Keane Darcy point, leaving Sligo 3 points clear at the interval. Sligo 9 points, Galway 6 points. It was clear Galway needed some bit of magic in the second half, and when Rob Finnerty got the first score of the half, Galway's hearts lifted. But Niall Murphy pointed a mark and Mikey Gordon pointed from play to knock back Galway's hopes. However, the introduction after a long absence from football of Damien Comer lifted Galway, and a superb pass from Paul Conroy saw the Annadown man win the first ball that came his way, and he turned and pointed with style. Rob Finnerty pointed Galway's first close-in free on 39 minutes, and Comer got his second point 2 minutes later to leave just 1 point between the sides, Sligo 11, Galway 10. But Sligo did not lie down. Alan McLaughlin and Sean Carabine got the next two scores for them, and that made it 13-10 with 15 minutes to play. Meanwhile, Galway's management continued to ring the changes, bringing in Daniel O'Flaherty, Killeen O'Quirin and Paddy Egan to replace John Daly, Shane Walsh and Paul Conroy. The fresh legs added impetus to Galway, especially O'Flaherty, as Sligo began to flag. Rob Finnerty and Niall Murphy traded scores so that by 52 minutes it was Sligo 14, Galway 11. There was still 3 points in it when another sub, Kieran Molloy, pointed for Galway after a series of misses as Galway tried to claw back the deficit. Keane Darcy narrowed the gap to 1 point on the 35th minute and 4 minutes of added time called. And then 2 minutes later, Damien Comer won a dirty ball on the right, about 65 metres out from goal. He managed to turn and charge forward, accompanied by Johnny Heaney. He then released to Heaney, who had a chance of a shot to score the equaliser. But the Killannon man opted instead to pass across the goal to the inrushing Rob Finnerty, who punched home the winning score. Galway hung on for the remaining 2 minutes of added time to win on a final scoreline. Galway 1-13, Sligo 14 points. This is Kevin Dwyer for Galway BFM Sport.
And after the game, Jonathan Higgins spoke to Galway manager Paul Joyce.
Rick, I think we all took a sigh of relief at the end. Relief, that biggest emotion right now?
Yeah, definitely. But Johnny, it definitely was relief. Yeah, we were and second fiddle the whole game there, and look, at least we stuck at it. At the same time, things weren't going well for not lads individually, but we stuck at it and eventually got the break at the end, which, you know, was disappointing for Sligo. They probably will be kicking themselves they didn't see the game out. They were the better team by far all day. They were in control of the game a lot of the time, and we were just very relieved to get out of here and be in the Connacht final in 2 weeks.
A huge scare. We were all getting worried. I won't lie, through the second half there as well. You're waiting for the moment to come. Sligo kept finding another score, finding another moment.
Yeah, they did. And look, they played really, really well. Like, but you know, our lads let them play as well. They let them control the game. Our lads never got up to the pitch of the game at all, really. And you know, like, that's a couple of great performances. Sligo, you know, they kicked some great scores there. They caused a lot of trouble around the pitch. And yeah, it's hard to put your finger on at the minute, but we need to figure it out quickly, because that performance won't be good enough in 2 weeks' time, as we know.
Yeah, I can imagine that review session will be fun with the lads.
Oh yeah, well, we had a bit of one there and the rest of them after the match as well now with them, so we'll see where we go.
I suppose ultimately, if you want to be cynical about it, it's a nice way to go through to a Connacht final, isn't it? It just cuts any form of hype, optimism, the big scare that you got.
Look, it does, but at the same time, you know, a Connacht final take on a life of its own as well, a different game, you know. And you know, look at the lads came down here today, and it's just trying to get motivated for a game at 3:30 on a Saturday. You know, it's a Connacht semi-final. You know, probably the age wasn't there. There was inners coming down the road. You could feel a little bit of it in the warm-up before the match and that kind of stuff. But look, it's no excuses. I mean, it's like, oh, the better team all day. We played second fiddle, and we were just very, very lucky to get out of here. Would have
been positive, I suppose. If we look at them as getting Shane and Damien, both had different impacts. Damien in particular made a big impact when he came on.
Yeah, I know, he had a huge impact, Damien, yeah, in fairness to him. So look, it's great to see him back. He's had numerous injuries, setbacks all the time, so look, he's worked mentally really, really well. He's a great fella, you know, and he'd live and die for football in Galway, so it's great. He got 25 minutes into him there today, and he made a couple of huge impacts in the game as well. So yeah, Shane, as I say, look, he needs more game time. he's struggling as well at the minute, fitness wise and that kind of stuff. But we always knew that when we get them back, that's in us to get the game time into them as well. So look, we're going to run out of games now as well, but we've 2 weeks now we need to go away, and we'll get a bit of work into the both of them as well as the rest of the squad, and we'll hopefully be a different proposition in 2 weeks time.
Damien is the high profile one off the bench, but I thought the likes of Daniel and Patrick made big impacts as well.
Yeah,
I think
them lads needed, you know, they needed a bit of we need a bit more legs in the pitch, and you know, there's nothing in the lads we took off, we just felt a bit of freshness there, you know. So Daniel gave us that from wing back, instead of John there, and definitely Patrick, he can give it to us in the middle of the pitch as well, around centre forward there. So yeah, and then look, again, King Darcy gave us huge impact as well all day, you know. He was probably one of our better players all day. He just kept taking the fight to Sligo all day, you know. But again, look, it's disappointing overall the way we played, but we're just relieved to get out of here and we'll move on.
I think my heart rate is still going. I can only imagine what yours is like.
Tonos is still there, still tipping away. So yeah, adding a few more grey hairs now, one for that one, that's for sure.
Connacht final to come now, Mayo and Roscommon take battle tomorrow. Probably watch that when things cool down.
Yeah, look, we'll go down and watch that chat. It's a home game for us in the final anyways, we get through. So look, we just have to go away and look after ourselves and worry about ourselves the next couple of weeks, no matter who gets through. I know everyone have their favourites in that game, but I think it's a very evenly contested game. Like any of them could win it, both good sides, but we need to up our performances, like 10 levels to even compete with them teams in 2 weeks time.
Well, we're going to move on to yesterday's action, staying there in fact, into the minor hurlers as they took on Kilkenny in their opening game of the Leinster Championship. Unfortunately for Galway, Kilkenny were just too strong. The report from Sean Walsh.
The final whistle has just gone then here in Nolan Park, where it's a fine victory for Kilkenny in the opening round of the Leinster Minor Hurling Championship. 4-23 for Kilkenny, 1-14 for Galway. In the end, there was only one team in this contest. There was a superiority about Kilkenny all through this game. Their touch in hurling and indeed their ability to find each other was top class, but the major take from this game from a Galway viewpoint was the sheer physicality of this Kilkenny team, with that power really forcing Galway to surrender possession on occasions. Also, Kilkenny were able to get scores at will. Their ability to get goals in fairness proved to be decisive, though Galway will point to some unforced errors, particularly in the concession of those goals, most of which could have been and should have been avoided. Galway had started quite well, and the game was level at 2 points each after 6 minutes when Kieran Neen got a good point, but Kilkenny had gone 7-3 in front before Joanna Donnan got Galway's third point from a free on the 14th minute. Indeed, the Cats, through Bill McDermott, stretched the lead out to 10-4 after 21 minutes, but then they struck for two killer blows between the 23rd and 27th minutes of that opening half. Firstly, Galway failed to cut a ball out in defence, and Bill McDermott broke inside and rifled a huge, powerful shot to the back of the net. That was followed just 2 minutes later by a Jake Mullen goal, the younger brother, of course, of senior star Adrian, and suddenly Kilkenny were 2-12 to 5 points in front. Indeed, they went in at the break 2-13 to 7 points in front. In fairness for Galway, for the early stage of the second half, they brought the game to Kilkenny to some degree, and by the three quarter stage it was something like 8-7 to Kilkenny in that second half, but the Kilkenny men struck for two late goals again to pull away. Indeed, it was 2-18 to 13 points when Killian Roche put over a Galway point on the 45th minute of that second half, but then goals started to come for Kilkenny again when Patrick Lacey finished the net on the 53rd minute after Sean Kelly and Dara Burke went up for a high ball. That put them 3-20 to 13 points up, as I said, and Galway got back for a goal of their own when Killian Roach showed great persistence, and the Galway full forward rattled it to the net to leave it at 3-20 to 1-10. But then Kilkenny, through Bin McDermott, got his second goal nearly on the 60th minute to leave Kilkenny comfortable victors in the end by 4-23 to 1-14. Jake Mullen hit one goal and 9 points in a fine despair for the Kilkenny men. Patrick Lacey was a live wire inside, hitting 1-3. Conor Hoolan hit 4 points for them, and Bill McDermott, the captain, got 2-3. For Galway, their scorers in the day were Jonah Donnell got a point, Owen Malidi, who had a good third quarter in particular, got two good points. Kieran Neen got 3 points, Brian Cannon got two, Killian Roach got one goal and 4 points, Stephen Kane got a point, as did Eamon McGlynn when he came off the bench. So in the end, Galway have work to do. Next day out is against Dublin. That's at a Dublin venue in this Leinster Minor Hurling Championship, but for here there was only one team in it in Nolan Park. That was Kilkenny. They finished victorious. Kilkenny 4-23, Galway 1-14. This is Sean Welch for Galway BFM in Nolan Park.
But there was better news for the Galway under 14 ladies, who are Connacht champions for 2024 after a very impressive win over Roscommon at the Connacht GAA Centre, with the report, Darren Kelly.
Galway 9-7, Roscommon 1-2. Galway's under 14 ladies footballers produced a polished performance on Saturday as they blitzed Roscommon to successfully retain their Connacht title. 4 goals for Chloe Flynn, a hat-trick for substitute Ellie Hertie O'Brien, and further green flags for Levisha Keane and Ruby Maguire ensured this decider was settled early. As the glorious summer weather finally arrived, Galway showcased their skills previously seen in the two Connacht Festivals of Football. Chloe Flynn profited from work by Ruby Maguire and Niamh Yunnan for the first point before a four-player move, including Lilia Murray, Levisha Keane and Chloe Mannion, resulted in Chloe Flynn's first goal on 9 minutes. When the resulting Roscommon kick-out was fouled, Levisha Keane's free dropped underneath the crossbar for Galway's second goal. And when Katie Brogan's kick pass found Chloe Flynn on 14 minutes, Galway went 3-1 to no score clear. Roscommon had probed in a couple of occasions, getting in behind the defence, with Ava Mitchell forced into one stop. The Primrose and Blue did get rewarded with an 18-minute goal for Aisling Kennedy. However, Galway reset with two Levisha Keane points, while a Chloe Flynn free secured her hat-trick and Galway led 4-3 to 1-2 at half-time. Any hopes of a Roscommon revival were ended within 3 minutes of the restart, with two more Galway goals for Ellie Harty O'Brien and Chloe Flynn. It was one-way traffic now as Roscommon heads dropped and Galway added points through Ruby Maguire, Levisha Keane and Kira Coyle. Ruby Maguire got Galway's seventh goal on 49 minutes and Ellie Harty O'Brien registered her other two green flags in the closing stages. Both sides now advance to the All-Ireland Series on May 4th. Dunmore McHales' Ruby Maguire is the Galway BFM player of the match. Final score again, Galway 9-7, Roscommon 1-2. Darren Kelly, Galway BFM Sport, the Connacht GA Centre in Bacon.
It wasn't to be for the Galway minor footballers on Friday night, beaten by Roscommon by 3 points in the end. Kevin Dwyer.
Roscommon 1 goal and 10 points, Galway 1 goal and 7. A disappointing outcome for Galway in this round 2 of the Connacht Minor League played at Dr. Hyde Park. Galway had breeze advantage in the first half but conceded an early goal to Roscommon, Alan Conroy scoring after 3 minutes, and indeed that goal was to be the goal that stayed between the sides for most of the game. Galway did hit back with a Michael Leahy point shortly afterwards, but then Roscommon playing into that breeze managed to get the next 3 scores from Shane McGuinness, Colin Murray and Declan Kennedy. Galway were over hitting the ball quite often into the full forward line using the breeze, and eventually they got to terms with the game, and in the 17th minute Killian Joyce got a point from a free as Galway changed their tactic to run at Roscommon. Joyce then added another point 2 minutes later again from a free, and Niall Dupuyer got a score for Galway on the 21st minute, another free far Galway, and that meant that the score was now 1-3 to 4 points. But Shane McGuinness got the final score of the half, a point from play for Roscommon on the 23rd minute of the half, and that meant that Roscommon went in a goal ahead at half time. Roscommon 1 goal and 4 points, Galway 4 points. Galway came out in the second half and started brightly. Duncan Octon got a point from play, and that was followed about 2 minutes later by a point by Keane Rafferty, so that after 4 minutes the deficit was now cut to a point. Roscommon 1 goal and 4 points, Galway 6 points. Dean Casey added a point for a free from Roscommon 3 minutes later, and that was followed up with scores from Dara Curtin, a point from play and another score from a free from him, so that by the 14th minute it was now Roscommon 1-7, Galway 6 points. David Kilrain then got a goal for Galway. Sean O'Callaghan hit a ball across the square. The ball looked like it was going to go wide. David Kilrain grabbed the ball from going past the post and buried it in the back of the net, and that meant that Galway were right back in the game, just a point between the sides, 17 minutes gone. Galway 1-6, Roscommon 1-7. However, Galway failed to build on that particular goal, and it was Roscommon that kept the pressure on with 2 scores from play from Keelan Kelly on the 19th minute and Cathal Enright on the 21st minute to restore that goal lead again. The game ended in the last 10 minutes with both sides trailing points, Sean O'Callaghan getting a point for Galway, narrowing the gap to 2 points, but Owen Collins got an insurance point for Roscommon on the 28th minute, and even though there were 3 minutes of extra time, Roscommon managed to keep themselves just that goal in front, and they earned the 2 points on the night on a final scoreline of Roscommon 1 goal and 10 points, Galway 1 goal and 7 points. This is Kevin Dwyer for Galway BFM Sport.
Yeah, we're going to take a commercial break now. Just to recap, by the way, actually, just back to yesterday's Gaelic games around the country, the Munster Senior Football semi-finals, a win for Kerry over Cork. So they were made work for it, 18 points to 112, the final score. Clare beat Waterford 220 to 19, and in Ulster, Donegal beat Derry comfortably 411 to 17 points. Two of the goals that are being reported are, well, pretty much hammering the myth about fly goalkeepers. But anyway, that's one that's going to go on for a while. Go and take a commercial break, because when we come back, it's rugby.
You're listening to the Full-Time Whistle on Galway Bay FM. Sponsored by GetSetGo.ie. Get click-click covered with our game-changing online car, home and travel insurance.
Connor took on Zebra knowing they had to win and, if possible, get a bonus point if they were to keep a challenge regarding a top 8 spot in the United Rugby Championship. Mission accomplished, Rob Murphy.
Connacht 54, Zebra Parma 16. 8 tries, a bonus point victory for Connacht on Saturday evening at Dexcom Stadium. A comfortable win, but they had to work hard and play well for it on an afternoon where results didn't go their way in the playoff hunt, but they kept themselves very much in the race by getting the win that they absolutely needed 1 week on from a disappointing exit in the Challenge Cup. It was a debut in terms of first starts for Matthew Devine, his third appearance for Connacht, wearing the 9 jersey, the former Irish under 20 scrum half, 22 years of age now. The time is now for the Ballinasloe man, and boy did he grasp the opportunity. 2 tries in the opening 23 minutes. He had Connacht's first 2 scores in the contest, and they were brilliant, clever scores. The first, a tap and go from a penalty when Zebre really fell asleep and he found a way to the line. The second, a brilliant half break that turned into a full break, beating 2 defenders in around the ruck and then out sprinting the 2 desperate defenders to the line for a score that started on the 10-metre line in the Zebra half of the field. That was Devine setting a tone. His superb passing added a real zip to Connacht's attack and made JJ Hanrahan's job a lot easier. He was superb at 10. His cross-field kick set up Niall Murray for the 3rd try before half-time. Now, Zebra had scored in between that through the scoring after Shane Jennings just couldn't control a ball that was kicked through. It was a poor mistake for Jennings, who put in a battling display at 15 after his brilliant effort away to Benetton. A little bit of a harder day for him at fullback, but another player that is coming through the ranks and looking sharp. Zebra were right in the game in that moment, but by half time Connacht led by 10, 21 points to 11. They kicked on in the second half. Tom Farrell, of course, it is now rumoured, beyond rumoured, it's expected that he is leaving Connacht at the end of the year, but a first chance for him to start a game since the Lyon game in January, and he took that chance very well with a great performance. He scored Connacht's bonus point try after some great work from Andrew Smith, and Connacht were rolling from there to the end. Sean O'Brien, superb at 8, he got a score just before he went off. Bundy Aki, outstanding throughout the game. He got in at the back of a Connacht rolling maul. Connacht also added a penalty try after JJ Hanrahan capped his fine effort with a score of his own as well. Luchin scored a try for Zebra towards the end, but Connacht were much the better side. And on a day where Finlay Beelan marked his 200th appearance for Connacht in 10 years wearing the green, it really was a day of celebration for the big crowd at the game. Connacht's penultimate home game before all the construction work begins on the stadium itself, because Connacht will not be getting a home top 4 place in this competition. Can they get a top 8 place? Well, they could have done without the Ospreys winning away to Stormers. That keeps them ahead of Connacht. They could have done with some other results going their way. Munster certainly are surging, and they look like they're going to be a top 4 side after a brilliant away win as well. Ulster winning in the last minute against Cardiff on Friday night just meant that all the results were going against Connacht. That said, they're right there in the mix with about 6 other teams battling for the final 4 spots in the playoffs. There are 4 games to go. Next up for Connacht next Saturday, away to the Dragons, 8 o'clock kickoff. Another game they need to win, and let's be honest, considering the Dragons are struggling, another game where Connacht will need the bonus point win. So they secure that. Well, we'll see how the last 3 games go from there. But for now, Connacht are just feeling a little bit better about themselves. Final score from Saturday night's game at Dexcom Stadium. Connacht 54, Zebra Parma 16.
And with the other results going the way they went, it has thrown everything very much up in the air. In fact, just to go back to those results very briefly, Leinster were beaten. Big surprise in that one. Also, they were beaten by the Lions, 44 points to 12. Benetton beat the Dragons, 36-19. Munster beat the Bulls 27-22. Ospreys beat the Stormers 27-21. And Edinburgh beat the Scarlets 43-18. Big day for Corinthians and for Galwegians as well. Both teams involved in Energia League semi-finals. Corinthians, they were behind against Wanderers but came out on top. William Davies.
It's finished Corinthians 35, Wanderers 21 here at Corinthian Park this afternoon. And Corinthians now through to take on UL Bohemians in the divisional AIL playoff game next Saturday in Anacotti. That was a controversial finish in Anacotti today, a retaken conversion, giving a win to UL Bohemians by 13 points to 12 over Sligo. This was a game really dominated by Corinthians, but not before they went 14 points to nil down. Tries by Fionn Finlay and Dunn got them Wanderers into a 14-0 lead. But then Corinthians came back into it. Sean Fox scored a good try for them, converted by Sean Nocton. 14-7 at half-time. And the game was really decided early in the second half when Fionn McNulty, Sean Nocton and Michael O'Reilly scored three converted tries for Corinthians in the space of 11 minutes. And that left them leading by 28 points to 14. There was a try from Wanderers on the 60th minute by Quill that was converted to make it 28-21, but Nocton in for his second try, and he also converted that on 62 minutes, left at 35-21. And both sides had half chances in the last quarter of the game, but the defences at that stage were on top against some slightly tired teams. Sean Nocton at 10 and John Devine at 12 were huge for Corinthians today. They directed operations, they had some good go-forward ball. The forwards were strong as well, and this is the biggest win that they've had over Wanderers this season. A special word to Brian Walsh and Max Flynn. That's the 5 and 7 for Corinthians, who were pretty impressive. But really, it was the backs who stole the show. And next Saturday, they get their opportunity down in Limerick against UL Bohemians. That game is more than likely going to kick off at 2:30, but that has to be confirmed, and it'll be their opportunity to take on a side who are in the division above them. If they can beat them, they move up, and UL Bohemians come down.
Well, it was also a good result for Galwegians. Needed a big win against Brough and got it. Dave Finn.
Galwegians are through to the final of the promotion relegation playoffs in Division 2B following their victory here at Crowley Park, 40 points to 17 over Brough. In an exciting game full of committed performances from all 23 players on both sides, Brough got off to a perfect start when Paul Collins landed a penalty, but they immediately knocked on from the restart, and from that platform, Galwegians were able to spin the play from side to side with Josh Munn getting into the corner. Tiernan Neville extended the lead with a penalty, but straight from the recart from that, they dropped the ball, and that allowed Ethan Anderson to eventually score in the corner, and a fantastic conversion from Paul Collins made it 10 points to 3. But Galwegians came back into the game. They got a penalty through Neville, and right on half time they got a second try with Ryan Smith going over in the corner following a maul from a penalty. The second half though primarily belonged to Galwegians again. Strong defensive effort kept Brough out, along with some poor decision making from the Limerick men, who may also feel they got the rough end of the stick from the referee. Two tries from replacement Shane Mallon and a third from Dara Kennedy got Galwegians out to a 40 points to 10 lead before replacement scrum half Jack Quinn saw a yellow card, and in that period Andrew O'Byrne got over for a consolation try for the Limerick man. Galwegians now go on to a final against Dolphin next weekend in Musgrave Park in Cork, but they'll be basking in the glory on what was a glorious day for rugby. Fantastic flowing play and a performance that justified the sizeable crowd here's journey. So it finished here at Crowley Park in the relegation promotion playoff in 2B semi-final. Galwegians 40, Brough 17.
They play their final as well, as you heard them mention, next Saturday afternoon. Quick commercial break, soccer next.
You're listening to the Full Time Whistle on Galway Bay FM, sponsored by GetSetGo.ie, game-changing online car insurance that offers big discounts and even bigger rewards.
To soccer. Galway United took on Shelburne Friday night, knowing that they were going to be underdogs going into this game against the league leaders. But they threw that form out the window with a brilliant goal from Ed McCarthy. The report from Mike Rafferty.
From a satisfaction point of view, this was almost as good as it gets for a game in DC Park on Friday night. Galway United defeated the tabletoppers Shelburne by 1-0, and in the process moved up a few positions in the Airtricity Premier League table. Now, Damien Duff's side started the game the better as Brendan Clark made two comfortable saves from Liam Burt and Sean Boyd before the goalkeeper excelled when pushing a Boyd header onto a post and out for a corner. A United side that made three changes from the scoring draw in Waterford the previous week, so Conor O'Keefe, Ed Irvin and Almain Kazim all start, and they quickly got into a pattern as themselves as Ed McCarthy and Vince Borden threatened. The match winner came early as a great team goal was cultivated on 24 minutes. Firstly, Stephen Walsh dispossessed Gavin Malloy in centre of the field and fed David Hurley. He released Dervin down on the right, and from his low driven cross from the end line, he was met by the inrushing McCarthy to flash the ball to the net from close range for a 1-0 advantage. The visitors' response was somewhat flat. They enjoyed plenty of ball at the back, but seldom threatened the home back four. United almost added a second on 40 minutes from a rapid counter-attack following Shell's corner, when a smashing McCarthy pass was chased by the outstanding Dervin, and after seeing off a covering defender, he unleashed a cracking right-footed effort that unfortunately came back off the far post. On three occasions on the resumption, Stephen Walsh threatened a breakthrough from snapshots and a downward header. Shells made five changes, and while they dominated possession in the closing quarter, just a Wilson shot extended Clark. Keith Ward and Sean Boyd were off target with shots, while a handball on the edge of the area was certainly a close call for the home side. The outstanding Dervin was given a standing ovation on his departure on 75 minutes, while United can be pleased with their night's work, as a team with the best defensive record in the league kept a fifth clean sheet in 10 outings. United are in action again on Monday night when they travel to the showgrounds to meet Sligo Rovers, who drew 1-1 with Dundalk on Friday night. Final score from M&DC Park, Galway United 1, Shelburne 0.
While Galway United's women kept their good run going in the All-Ireland Cup with a very comfortable win over Glentoran. With more on this and a roundup of the weekend's action, back to Mike.
While Galway United women continued on their winning ways in the Avenir All-Ireland Cup in M&DC Park yesterday evening, with the register of 4-0 success over Glentoran. It's their second victory in the group stages, while also yesterday at Lone Town defeated Sligo Rovers, so both teams have 6 points from their opening two games. A Kate Thompson goal smashed home early on 11 minutes gave the home side an interval advantage in a half in which Lone Town certainly impressed without ever over-threatening Jessica Berlin's goal. But three goals in the latter stages from 82 minutes on sealed victory for the home side. Substitute Ciara Kavanagh just came on, and it was Julie Ann Russell who set her up for a close range finish. Jenna Slattery slipped home the third goal after Isabel Beletek provided the assist. And right on 90 minutes from the Slattery corner, Eve Dawson rose highest in the box to head home the fourth. Another comprehensive victory for Galway United women. Next weekend, big game. They're away to Piemont United, defending champions in the Airtricity League. Switching to the local junior soccer action in the Western Highs Premier League. And, well, I suppose maybe no surprise eventually, but for the third week in succession, so Merv United and Salt Hill met, and Salt Hill Devon emerged winners again. Okay, Murphy were not as strong club by player wise as they were in previous games, and they certainly made it competitive for a long time, but the reality is that they really seldom looked like winning this game. They did take an early lead when Charlie Concannon forced home a rebound, and but just before the break, two goals by Salt Hill Devon. Paul Scally slammed home an effort after a corner dropped him in the box, and Mikey Fox with a stunning free kick from outside the area put Devon 2-1 up at the break. Second half was a nip and tuck, with Devon always enjoying the edge, and right in the 95th minute Mikey Fox collected a long ball, broke away and smashed home the third goal. So a 3-1 win for Salt Hill Devon. That moves them a point, or keeps them a point clear of Athenry at the top of the table, and they do enjoy a game in hand. Meanwhile, Athenry were 4-1 winners over Hibernians. The sides were level at the break at 1-1, but Cole Connolly scored twice for the home side, with Aaron Neary and Ryan Corcoran getting the other goals. Brutos Foynd scored the goal for the city side. Out in Comanstown, while the home side continued just to struggle in the bottom of the table, two late goals from Liam McDonough gave Mary Orne Moore a 2-0 victory as the third place side continued on their good form, 9 games unbeaten. For Comanstown, it's difficult. They're just one win, they're on 4 points at the bottom of the table, 3 games left against Loughrea, Hibs and Mary. I think they certainly would nearly need to win all 3 to get away from the drop zone. Renmore are safe in the Premier League. They picked up courtesy of a late Conor Murray equaliser. They drew 2-2 with Colga. On two occasions, Tom Daly put the visitors in front, but Kieran McGinty level matters first before Murray got the second equaliser. That moves Renmore to 11 points, and all that is because St Bernard's and Loughrea drew this morning 0-0 out in Abbey Knockmoy. No, St. Mirren's have one game left against Colga. They have to win it to try and escape from the drop. Loughrea are not safe either, but they have a lot of games left to play, so a better chance of them surviving, so it's a big ask. In the game played in midweek, a bit of a cracking game, strange game. Murphy United were 5-0 up after 25 minutes against Hibernians, as Colin Kelly scored twice. Oisín Coyne, Jason Malloy and Luke Gorman were all on the mark. Hibs pulled three back before the break to Jim McPhilbin, Brutus Freund and Shane Walsh. And when Jason McDonough got their fourth goal just after the restart, a real game looked on. It was, did remain competitive, but Murphy United hung on for a 5-4 victory. As I mentioned, Devon and Athlone Rye top of two, Coleman St. Bernard's of bottom two there. In the Championship, well, University of Galway confirmed their promotion with a 2-1 win over Dynamo Blues in Dangan yesterday. Jack Joyce and Shea O'Connor got the goals that clinched the promotion spot. West United were helped this morning when they received a walkover from a West Coast United side that are just struggling somewhat and possibly struggling for numbers also as well. But as a result of that win for West United, they've moved in second place in the table, but they have again played more than Moyne Villa at this stage. Carb Celtic were 6-2 winners this morning over Carb Rangers in Dunnanadown. John O'Donnell scored twice, Keith Graney, Breen Winters, Chris Graney and Adam Kenny all in the mark for the home side, while Mike Mongan and Tabiso Duba scored for Rangers. A few games played in midweek. University of Galway were 2-0 away winners over Carlow Celtic. Jack Joyce and Josh Buckley with the goals there. In Westside on Thursday evening, West United looked like they were on their way to a comfortable success when there were two goals by Jason Grealish put them 2-0 away against Carlow Rangers. But the old City rivalry, certainly the Westside team were not going to lie down. Goals by Jack Flaherty, Tabiso Duba, level the matters at 2-2 before an Edwin Hudner header put the home side in front. But Kieran Foley equaliser for West gave them a point in that contest. And also midweek, Andrew Dillon scored twice for Knocknacarra as they defeated Dynamo Blues by 2-1. In Division 1, well, the big story here is that Bohemians have preserved their Division 1 status, because the man who came back to rescue them, long retired, long serving Aidan Nocton, came back, stuck. I'll have to check and see how many goals he has got in the latter months of the season, but he got a late winner as Bowes beat Merlin Woods by 1-0 today. That was enough to secure their Division 1 status, and of course they were only promoted last season. Now elsewhere, Craigmore to go, we got a walkover from Cush Auriga, but the outcome is, of course, Merlin Woods are long been relegated. St. Pat's have been relegated out to the second from bottom position, but they have two games remaining, so if they win one of those, it sends East Galway United, and maybe about a month ago East Galway United looked about 6 or 7 points well clear of the relegation zone, but those teams at the bottom, that was Bowes, Craigmore, St. Pat's, all picked up points to save themselves. Of course, Cropwell and McDara already confirmed as the promoted two in that division. And in Division 2, well, Athenry B have been confirmed as champions, because this morning in the last game in Division 2, Colga B and Kiltullagh shared the spoils in a 1-1 draw. If one of those teams won, it was going to take a playoff to decide on the destiny of the title. With those two teams drawing, the same two teams are going to have to meet again to decide which of them are going to be promoted, because they both finished joint second, 2 points behind Athenry B. All I do know is that Lewis Dolan got the lead goal for Kiltullagh as they led 1-0, but Colga got an equaliser along the way. In just a couple of brief other scores in the Ladies Championship this afternoon, Murphy United defeated Colga by 5-0. The Oscar Traynor Cup final took place in Castlebar this afternoon. The Mayo League, of course, previously in the Galway group, they were beaten 4-2 at home by Waterford. In the Galway United Academy teams, some mixed fortunes for them. Emily Fitzgerald scored twice as the under 19 team defeated Athlone Town by 2-1. No joy for the under 17 side, beaten 1-0 by Treaty United. The home side got a later winner there. In the under 20 men's game, it finished scoreless between Galway United and Bohemians in Dublin yesterday. The under 17 side, Ben Selle, got the match winner for Galway United as they defeated Longford Town by 1-0. The under 15 team were 7-2 winners over Mayo, with Lee Crowley Leiden notching a hat-trick. Adam Healy, Mark O'Callaghan, Killian Salmon and Enda Brown were all on the mark for that under 15 team, who were joint top of the Group C with Treaty United. And Galway United under 14, this is an evening kickoff, so this is the latest score. Galway United have scored two early goals through Ben Genty and Adam Lloyd as they lead Treaty United by two goals still in the early stages. And of course they have won six games from six. Some tasty Michael Byrne Cup games in midweek coming up as the season gradually winds down.
Okay, we're just going to mention boxing as well. Two good results to tell you about. Kieran Malloy remains unbeaten as a professional after beating Herrera last night in Rotherham. He won it on points and was knocked down in the sixth round. And Adam Hesham is through the quarterfinals of the European Elite Championships after a unanimous points win earlier on this afternoon. It's time to go racing and to round up what has been happening today. Pretty good day's racing, in fact, as well, with two meetings down for decision. Rounding up, here's George.
Good evening, John. Well, we had two meetings in Ireland today. We were on the flat at the Curragh and over jumps down at Tramore, and at the Curragh the feature contest was the Leicester Piggott Gladness Stakes, a listed contest over 7 furlongs, and the Donegal O'Brien owned Yosemite Valley held up early in the contest, made good late headway under Gavin Ryan to win the prize quite snugly by 2.5 lengths in the end. And this was a horse that will certainly pick up some group races over a mile and possibly one or two that's over 7 furlongs in the during the summer months. Racing opened with the maiden in which Midnight Strike at 15-2 initiated a good day for Joseph O'Brien, and Dylan Brown McMonagle got this one home ahead of Treasure Isle. Wells Coward of the County at 17-2 completed a double for the pair in the very next race, the first six furlong maiden of the season. Whistle Jacket, an own brother to that very good Little Big Bear, finished second, having shown plenty of pace, and one thinks as well that there will be no stamina here. This fella is a sprinter in the making and could be going to Royal Ascot for a 5 furlong race, something like the Norfolk Stakes or the Windsor Castle. Follow Me took the 6 furlong maiden for Dusty Foley and Ross O'Sullivan, 22-1, surprising favourite Emerald Isle, while Zephron was a good winner for Wayne Hassett and Dennis Cullen, proving a half and then two good in a blanket finish of the 7 furlong handicap. Zephron getting home from El Bello and God knows in second and third place. Magical Vision took the 5 furlong sprint, beating 2 Stars, again coming late on the scene, whilst Red Shore City was won for Wayne Lorden and Attila Lupini in the concluding contest, nicely backed at 9-1 from 12-1 this morning. Down at Tramore, it was a good day for the Philip Rothwell Yard, but racing opened with Barrier Long Odds on favourite, with a couple of his main market rivals and absentees in the opening contest, took that prize for Jack Kennedy, extending his lead over Paul Townend, whilst the locals were happy when Gulliver Run at 11-8 favourite, a very good mare in bumpers. She was 6th in the entry bumper last season, having won a bumper at Leopardstown and won at 11-8 favourite. Rocks Hill Rosie took the Opportunity Riders maiden hurdle for Danny Gilligan, given a fine ride by Gilligan for the local David O'Brien Yard, whilst the Rothwell team are in tremendous form, and they started off their good day with Natural Breeze, took the handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles under Conor Owens, and later Simon Torrance steered Prince of Air home at 10-1 in the handicap chase. The 2-mile handicap chase went to Gua de Large for the locals going home happy. Rachel Blackmore for Henry de Bromhead, whilst Brendan Welch, son of the legendary John Joe Welch in County Cork, had his Rochestown took a good hold early on, but lifted the handicap chase over 2.5 miles from Victus Magnus in second place. One for the Notebook is most definitely Malbay Madness, second in the opening contest, now in the ownership of Annette Mee, will certainly be targeting Galway, one would think, for the Emmett Mullins Yard, John.
You're listening to the Full Time Whistle on Galway Bay FM.
Just to tell you as well, Manchester United into the FA Cup final, but they needed penalties to beat Coventry after being 3-0 up. Coventry pulled it back to 3-3. Liverpool second in the Premier League after their 3-1 win over Fulham. That is your sport. We'll have sport tomorrow morning again with the team. But for myself, enjoy the rest of your Sunday night. See ya.
You're listening to the Full Time Whistle on Galway Bay FM, sponsored by GetSetGo.ie, game-changing online car insurance that scores with incredible discounts and rewards.